Hello and welcome to the Not Quite Hollywood podcast. I'm August.
Jamie.
John.
And returning is our special guest.
Hello, it's Brandon. Hi guys, glad to be back.
Oh, well, we're glad to have you back.
Thank you.
Seems like ages.
I know.
Seems like ages.
Years ago.
Years. Years have passed.
It's going to get so sweaty.
Smells like men.
Oh, yeah.
Call back.
Yep.
I threw a C. I heard a C before the men,
C.
And I was like,
I mean, it probably smells like that, too.
It will in a second.
It's a fun episode.
Men.
So, today in this podcast, we're here to talk about our topics. Half of us don't have their topics ready, or...
That's
is it just
true.
Three-fourths?
Don't look at me.
Three-fourths of the group.
A quarter of us
me.
Do not have our topics.
A quarter of us don't.
Everyone else is on top of the work, and then one person happens to be lazy.
Oh, shit.
Now I know what my topic is.
Yeah.
So, August is a piece of shit.
The first topic is going to John.
I should go next.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it is really relevant because... one of these movies is coming out later this year.
Okay.
It was recently told. So my topic is about franchises that we always will see movies of. One of those was Die Hard. And then
I saw
A Day to Die Hard, and I was like, this is fucking shit.
Yeah.
Like, no, I will never see another Die Hard movie ever again.
That pissed me off
so much.
I know a lot of people hate Live Free or Die Hard, but there are a lot of things to at least enjoy about that movie. There are a couple
campy.
Of good scenes. Kevin Smith had some fun. Like,
yeah,
yeah.
I never
and
even
like,
saw
I was gonna say, it's,
Die Hard with a Vengeance.
And that's awesome, though. I love Die Hard with a Vengeance. I was going to say, you might as well just stay
I'm
there. That's fine. Yeah, because that ends on a high note. But the fourth one is not a bad one.
No, with
it's
Justin
not.
Long, like,
yeah.
they have a good, like, chemistry.
Chemistry, sure. Yeah, there's a good couple of side characters. Timothy Oliphant makes a fine villain. But yeah, the fifth one, holy shit. That pissed me off. Like, I've very rarely been that angry at a movie. Such phoning it in. So what movies, what series do you continuously come back to no matter what?
Godzilla. That
okay.
And see, later this year, Godzilla Resurgence is coming out.
But that's a Korean film, right? Or that's from Japan?
That's
I'm
from
sorry.
Japan.
Yeah. Okay.
I only watched the Japanese Godzilla movies.
Okay.
I haven't seen the recent...
Gareth Edwards one?
Gareth
really?
Edwards one. I did
it's
not
never
like
watched the Roland...
The,
or, but you saw
I oh. never... No. I won't watch them.
The Gareth Edwards one is actually... It's not
it,
horrible.
It's
not. It's
not,
not
much
yeah.
about
it's,
Godzilla for a while, though.
Sure.
But see, that's the thing. The first Godzilla wasn't either.
Sure.
And this new one is from the recent trailer that showed... it hints towards that as well. It seems a little bit more... There's a lot of, like, not courtroom, but, like, war room meetings.
Yeah.
Between officials, like, deciding... how are we going to handle this situation? And that's what the first Godzilla, that's what it all started out with. It didn't start out as Monster Mash.
It's got a different look, too, right, to the Godzilla? Or am I,
yes.
I'm not crazy, okay, because I'm not huge into the actual Japanese Godzilla movies. I've only seen a few of them, so I don't know what the Godzilla is actually supposed to look like. Except every movie
not
we've
like
seen
that.
I've seen are always different
looks. He's supposed to look like a guy in a rubber suit.
Exactly.
And that's why I don't like the newer ones.
That's
he's
one
supposed
things,
to punch slap other giant moths and shit.
That's something that kind of like slightly disappoints me about this Resurgence one, because this is like, this is Godzilla from Tokyo, or from Japan.
Yeah.
Like, this is where it started out, and it's not in a rubber suit. It's CGI.
It looks more Americanized,
very much
say,
so.
Yeah.
But one of the people behind it is Hideki Anno, and he's responsible for one of my favorite animes, Neon Genesis Evangelion. I mean, I know it's not going to be anything like that anime, but having someone notable as that, and he doesn't do a whole lot, he doesn't really do any live action, but seeing part of that project, like, it's got me hyped. So that's the point, is like, it doesn't matter about the quality of these this franchise in this modern time. It is just because of the franchise and of the movies that you've seen before, you will just always go to the next one. And Godzilla will always be that franchise for me. Because I grew up on those. Just like watching the ones where they're in the rubber suits and he's battling Mothra and he's battling Rodan or Mechagodzilla.
Or King Kong.
Or I didn't see that
in
one.
The future. That's what they're gonna be doing in the future.
And that's what brought this topic up to me is because I saw the trailer for Kong Skull Island, and I was
super impressed with the Kong
trailer. I was too.
When I was a kid growing up, everyone loved Godzilla, and they wanted Godzilla to beat King Kong. For some reason, now that I'm older, I think I like the idea of King Kong better than Godzilla.
Fuck you.
I do. I like King Kong. I like him better.
I kind of dig this cinematic universe that they're going for. That's why they made, from what we've seen, the smaller shots of what you see of Kong. He's so much bigger than we've ever known him before. So eventually he's going to meet the Godzilla from the Warner Brothers.
It's like that, that sunset shot, and it just shows his legs. It's just below. Like, oh, shit.
This is the biggest we've ever seen. So I'm kind of looking forward to it. These type of movies, they're not so classic that you can't hurt them. And those, when you brought up this topic, I started trying to think of movies that I wouldn't mind them going back to, and they have to be movies that wouldn't hurt my feelings, I guess.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so the one that I came up with is always, no matter how bad they are, and the recent ones have been really bad, I love any Michael Myers Halloween movie. I will go to see it. I loved those 80s Jason Voorhees, Nightmare on Elm Street. They're not classic enough that they can't be untouched. They're just movies that I like seeing the character again. I like those dumb, just, I've always been fond of that era of horror filmmaking and slashers, and so to see them, to Rob Zombie do his version of it, I know a lot of people fucking hated him. I didn't mind him. It's just good to see the character. I don't care.
I like the first one.
I was going to say, the second one goes more surreal and crazy and weird, but, like, I just like to see the character. I just want to see some, like, slash. It doesn't matter to me. Like, and it's, like, Halloween is a classic horror film. Like, that's one of the best, probably the best slasher film next to Psycho ever made. The Friday the 13th, the first movie, I mean, really, as a movie, it's not that great. Like, what I mean? Like, so I don't care if they make 12 fucking sequels where he comes and keeps killing. Like, it doesn't matter to me. Like,
it's not like Alien.
Exactly.
Where
it's not
like Prometheus to come out and be like,
it doesn't bastardize anything. It's just fun to see the character again. So when I look at movie series that I would continue to keep going to, any of those type of movies, I would go to it. Like, it pissed me off, the Nightmare on Elm Street remake. Like, that angered me because it was so different from the original, and they really fucked up the character. Like, that angered me. But when you take a character that's silent, like a Michael Myers or a Jason Voorhees, you can't really fuck them up. Like, as long as you have the mask on and they're not, you know what I mean? Like, it's fine. It's fun. I don't care.
An indestructible, fucked up guy.
Done.
Like, how do you fuck that up?
Yeah, you're killing people. I don't care. Whatever. Set around a holiday, fine.
So to that point, I mean, Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street, to me, were, like, the two that I thought of when you proposed this list, like, this franchise thing. Like, I watched the new Nightmare because I love the series, and I like Nightmare first more so, and then I've obviously grown to love Friday the 13th, but they're both, like, even Jason X or Freddy vs. Jason, they're super campy, super fun.
Yeah, Jason X was a blast.
Yeah, that's still a movie I revisit. Like, every other year. It's fantastic.
And even the remake in 2009, I had a good time with it because they did different things with Jason. Like, they made him, they kind of explained his fast travel between the woods. Like, he had underground tunnels, and, like, he was more visceral. Like, that first scene was like,
boom! One of the few movies that after the first 12 minutes it says the title, and I thought the movie was fucking over. Like, they killed probably 12 people in the beginning. I'm like, hang on a second. You know what?
The whole new cast. Yeah. Very similar to Death
Proof. Done. It just starts back over. Yeah. I was like, okay.
I like the idea of, like, having the whole entire new cast, like, everyone's in the promotional, you know, like, trailers on posters, and be, like, dead within the first 10 minutes.
I was so confused. Yeah, I was like, wait, what?
It's like having Drew Barrymore on screen. Like, she was in the poster, and, like, she fucking died within 5 seconds.
Yep.
I would, as stupid as it sounds, I love time travel. I never want them to make another Back to the Future, right?
Yeah.
But as much as shit as they are, I love the Terminator movies. I mean, I know they sucked. Like, I love Salvation more than Genesis, obviously. Salvation had a cool, like, let's actually see the fucking war we've been hearing about for 30 years. But they never made another sequel to it.
And, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Terminator, popping up at the facility, and you didn't know that he was going to be in it. Like, that was pretty hype. I was like, oh,
but then again, it looked like shit. And it was, like, Tron Legacy level of shit. But, and then, like, with Terminator Genesis, like, they had some cool ideas, like, going back, tying into the first movie, like, some shots. Like, I've seen, like, a shot-for-shot remake, like, comparison to the scenes that were iconic, but it was shit. And I still watched it in theaters. I'm thinking the only one here that watched it.
Yeah, I still haven't seen that. I didn't even really bother watching
it. Don't bother.
Okay, but what about the one that's rarely ever talked about?
Three? I watched it in theaters. It was bad.
I did, too. I didn't think it was horrible.
It was like it ruined a lot of it ruined a lot
back
of
then. Like I haven't revisited, but I mean we're talking like high school. I watched
2003.
This.
I think that came out.
Yeah, 2003.
Yeah, so
I watched it at the time. I was like, why'd they fucking ruin 97? Like all of a sudden it's not a thing anymore. Like. Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe it's time alterations, but it was just really bad. It was really bad.
But what about the fire truck scene? Is it?
It was fun to watch.
My mind, I think it still holds up to this day.
It was a spectacle, but it was.
But that's it in that movie.
Irrelevant.
So Terminator, you could always go and watch Terminator.
Well, if they had made a sequel to Salvation, I'd be more excited for it. I think everybody would. But
I'm in the minority on this. The only Terminator film I ever liked was the first one.
It's a fucking great film.
I didn't even like the second one. Oh, I felt it went too humor and too. Okay. Campy.
Well, yeah, I can definitely see that.
Especially when people were trying to tell me that the second one was better than the first one, and that bothered me a lot, because I was like, I can see the entertainment value in part two, but it's definitely, I don't think it's better than the first. The
second one is more marketable than the first one.
Yeah, I compare that franchise to Alien.
Alien.
Same thing.
Alien is the best movie. Aliens is a whole different genre.
Yeah.
And it's good in its own right, but it's not the same as the first movie.
For the listeners, the less knowledgeable, both by James Cameron.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
But he did do the first and the second Terminator.
Sure.
But still, it's still like Aliens and Terminator 2 has that different kind of style of taking something that worked in one way and transforming it and putting it in the same kind of way.
There are very few, I think, film franchises that are going on now currently that I would continue to like more entries.
Yeah.
And it's kind of sad.
This is going to sound stupid and it's going to play into my bullshit character in this fucking podcast, but I think the more and more they release these films, the more fun they are. Is Fast and the Furious?
I will say the last
three
have been watchable. Like the first four, I was completely out of it. I was like, no, I would never fucking watch any of these. The first one, I would say the first one's like a terrible ripoff of Point Break, and then it just goes from there.
I've only ever watched the first one.
I was gonna say
they're more like. You know,
I'm gonna defend Tokyo Drift.
You're the only person.
They have a scene where they show a soccer field on top of a skyscraper within Tokyo.
Does that make sense?
I saw that scene. It's fucking Tokyo. That's the point. It doesn't make fucking sense. But I saw that scene and I was like, I want to go to Tokyo just because they have shit like that.
Not making sense. That's what I liked about. That's when James was it James Wan or no Justin Lin? James Wan also did a movie, but Justin Lin, when he took over the franchise, was just like, this doesn't fucking make sense. Like we started off with car racing and now where are we? So like he
working
upped
for
that
government.
Ante. It was more it's so they're fun. They're really dumb and they're terribly acted, but there's a couple of really genuinely good action scenes
that's the point
among them.
Right. Either you go with your friends and watch it at a theater or you get drunk at home with your friends. It's not meant to be good.
No.
It's meant to be fun.
Yeah.
And that's what they do. And I think the first three were kinda like really up their ass about it. The second one was largely forgettable. The third one was like, for the most part, it was a bastard child of the franchise because it didn't feature anyone until Vin Diesel at the end.
Yeah.
It wasn't like really like, it was falling apart. Then Fast and Furious, the fourth one came in and kind of revigorated. Yeah. I haven't seen that one yet.
No, it's not a good one. It's when you take that stupid, absurd premise and you add likable actors. Vin Diesel on his own is not like he just has no charisma. So when you add like people like The Rock, you know what I mean? Like you can get a little more energy, a little more excitement out of it, and that's when it became fun. You know what I mean?
This is almost becoming like the guilty pleasure franchise.
Yeah, it's bad.
No,
because
you're reminding me of one of like
kind of entertaining.
Transporter.
Oh. The Transporter series.
Okay. There was a third one, wasn't there?
No, there was a third
with
one.
Jason Statham.
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
then there's a fourth one without
reboot.
Him.
Another one. Yeah.
Yeah. I like the second one, but I didn't see the third one.
Yeah.
Kind of in that same vein, Crank.
That was the series.
Crank movies.
I want a third Crank.
I would
the
love
first
a third
and
Crank.
The second one are fucking great.
They
just
are.
Like,
how come they haven't done a third one?
Exactly.
I don't know.
They don't cost anything to make. They're made by the same two guys.
Yeah,
they film like just fucking rollerblading around. Like it's crazy. But
they're on iPhone 4.
Yeah. Those are fun movies.
I mean, the first one, when he gets in that taxi cab and it's someone, he's like playing the eagle. Or no, it's Achy Breaky Heart. And he's like trying
to.
Dwight
Yoakam, he's trying to like yank himself and get himself, crank himself up.
I got a mosh to this song and just like.
It's a great concept for an action movie to continuously keep it going. You gotta get your adrenaline up.
And the second one expanded because it wasn't like he had to keep his adrenaline up. He had to keep charged. So it's just like
some ridiculous
electrocuting himself.
Having sex on like a racehorse field. Like, what? But yeah, I feel like in order to continue with a lot of these franchises, you gotta keep upping the ante. You gotta keep surprising the audience. And that's what's hardest, I think, honestly. To keep the audience engaged and to get something new, bring something new to the table.
Now I got two.
Yeah.
One that's new and one that's old.
Okay.
But recently been reinvigorated. Mad Max.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I want to see it.
Because I'm old enough to have seen the first two, wait in for Beyond Thunderdome in the theater when I was a kid.
Ooh, sorry.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And then wait in that long amount of time for Fury Road. Yeah. And I will always go see a Mad Max movie no matter what.
Sure.
What if it doesn't have George Miller attached to it?
I know that it kind of has to have
George Miller. Yeah, it's kind of got to have
it. Has to have George
Miller. Again, the same guy behind Babe, though.
I love Babe.
Yeah, and Happy Feet. What a versatile filmmaker.
He was like 70 years old and he was just like, you want to make a fucking action movie? Watch this. You know, everyone was just like fucking cream their pants watching it because they're like, he's 70 something. How come these young guys don't understand that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The other one is The Conjuring. We talked about it last podcast.
Yeah.
I will, now after these two, I will always go see The Conjuring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you mentioned another old film series though.
Highlander.
Yeah.
I can't say it honestly because I haven't watched the fifth.
How many?
The fifth movie that was
Holy
in.
Holy shit.
Although, the first one is a classic, which will end up being a community movie at some point.
Sounds good. I've never seen any of them.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of them.
Second one was so bad that they had to re-edit the whole movie and repackage it.
Oh, shit.
Third one was really good. The fourth one, they introduced the star from the television series, Adrian Paul, into the movie series.
That's cool.
And it was an awesome concept because the Connor McLeod character, which was played by... Christopher Lambert, had to pass the torch to... the younger guy, Adrian Paul, who's Duncan MacLeod, by having a battle where he had to take his head. And he said, we've been friends for like 400 years, but this is who we are and this is what we do. You have to take my head.
There can only be one.
There can only be one. Stop with this pussy bullshit of we're going to be friends. So that was a really, really good movie, and though it was super low budget, but it was really good.
Okay.
Honestly, I haven't seen the fifth one because apparently it went straight to video and it was garbage.
Ooh.
When was that made?
Which one? The fifth one?
Or yeah, which one? How long has it been since the last one? The first one was in the 80s, right?
I know the fourth one I saw in the theater when I lived in Portland 16 years ago.
So
2000. Yeah. So I think around 2004, 2005, that fifth one came out, which apparently was just garbage. But it's always been a franchise that's fascinated me, and they've always talked about rebooting it with Ryan Reynolds for the longest time was involved with it.
If it was Ryan Gosling, it'd be all set.
Yeah.
If it was Ryan Gosling.
If it was Ryan Gosling, yeah.
But I always loved the idea of the Highlander. I mean, it was the TV show. I watched it all through high school, and it was such an interesting concept of these guys from all different cultures and nationalities just wander the planet with swords. They're immortal, and they can sense each other, and then they have a battle. And it just dwindles down to two. Then they have a battle for who can be, like, king of the world or something.
That's
awesome.
I don't know if anyone's seen this movie. I haven't seen it. Ghost Dog.
Oh, yes, yeah, Jim Jarmusch. Yeah.
I think that would be great if he turns out to be, like, part of Highlander. Like,
it's funny the genres that you pick that you'd continue to watch. There are very few dramas or comedies that you'd continue coming back to.
Definitely.
I'm trying to think.
I mean,
some of the Monty Python used to be, obviously. Yeah.
And even if it was still Monty Python, they would still make movies.
I could keep watching Paul Blart.
Paul Blart.
Like, there's a third, fourth.
I do like
12th.
Certain,
I will keep watching.
Certain characters. Harold and Kumar have always been kind of entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they're probably not a good movie, but I'd watch them in anything.
Guantanamo Bay isn't really that bad.
No, it's funny.
It's
exactly.
Not as great as the first one,
but and three's pretty bad. Overall.
Yeah, but those characters I feel are funny to revisit.
Three's
the Christmas
the worst.
One, a very Harold.
The
you ever seen the Christmas one with Neil Patrick?
Because
I have it on Blu-ray.
No,
yeah.
It's entertaining. It's entertaining. Yeah.
What? I mean, this is technically a series, and August is gonna fucking love this. Marvel films until they kill me. August is so ready to jump.
Jamie, I'll hop on your bandwagon a little.
Thank God.
I like a lot.
You put one foot on it.
I'd say half of the Marvel films I really enjoy.
Well, the thing is, like, to me, like, I've always loved continuity. I always loved crossovers. And the idea that they're building this whole world is going to fucking break eventually.
Sure.
There's so much going on between the TV shows and the movies and the Netflix series.
Yeah,
the bubble's going to burst, but...
I don't go that deep.
I love the idea of this world. It's a comic book world they're building in film and TV. And, like, and it's never been done before in this level. And, I mean... I don't know where it's going to go and how it's going to stop and when it's going to fucking just the audience is going to be shut off. Like, I'm done with this. But it's fun to watch while it goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'm excited to see Thanos on screen. Hopefully they don't fucking fuck him up. But, like, building towards this Infinity War, like, I played, this sounds stupid, but I played the NES, Super NES game, War of the Gems. And I'm like, I have to read about this, like, series. Like, who's this Thanos? Who's Magus? Like, I had to look into all this stuff because it was the cool idea of, like, this this being so powerful at taking out all these heroes on Earth. And to see that on, like, 20 years ago, you tell me that would happen on film, my little fat kid self would punch you in the face.
And to let alone that not only be on film, but to be some of the most popular franchises of all time.
It's bizarre. Incredible. It's surreal, really, the life we live today. This shit's on as mainstream as it is. But
yeah.
Like I said, it's going to end eventually.
And depressing.
It's depressing to me because I grew up with the actual comics. Yeah. And seeing these movies feels like a knife in my back for a lot of the characters and storylines.
Someone who didn't, I'm not aware of those comics, and so I didn't grow up with that. And so now I'm just kind of seeing the iterations, and a lot of them, the more fantastical ones, I immediately just distance myself. I can't get into them.
But when we get to my topic, I'm going to defend a certain area of the Marvel universe.
Okay.
What I'd like to say about the cinematic universe and tying into all these different TV shows and all these different movies or whatever is I do like that idea.
Sure.
Of having this consistent world, but my problem is it's so spread out.
Sure.
I don't have TV, so I can't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't have Netflix, so I can't watch Deadpool. I can't watch Luke Cage. I can't watch Jessica Jones. So then when these moments occur in the movies, and the whole entire audience is like, oh, that's that person, or they include them, and I'm just what does this add to the movie that I'm watching right now?
To your benefit, in my detriment, they largely ignore ties to the show.
Right, yeah.
So the show will react to the movies. The movies won't react to the shows that much.
Mm-hmm.
So you're by watching the films, you're getting the 90% of it. And they are referencing the movies, the show. So it hasn't gotten to the point where a show actor has come on the movie.
I would say that there is an example of that. And it's Civil War. Peggy Carter's niece? Daughter?
She was in Winter Soldier.
Yeah, Winter Soldier. But again, when I watched that movie, I had no idea what the hell was going on. I rewatched Winter Soldier because I hadn't seen it since theaters. And that's the thing about these movies, too. I won't rewatch. I'll watch them once, and they'll be done. Stupid me, Blu-ray collector, I'll fucking buy it because I'm an asshole. But, I won't watch it again. And they're just, they're just not there.
Yeah.
But they're forgettable.
The show never referenced Sharon Carter. It's just the movies.
Right.
Oh, really?
So that's the gist of her entire character right there.
Yeah, see, it's just very forgettable. Shallow, very small. Yeah.
Forgettable Carter.
Yep.
Is that her superpower?
I mean, Agent Carter, the old lady, is in her own show, but you don't have to watch that to watch the movies.
Okay.
Or to get it, you know?
Yeah.
I just think it's it's cool that they're all in the same world.
So my topic.
Yeah.
What topic?
My topic's, we talked about all horror movies last little episode, so I was just curious, what do you have to see in a horror movie? It's clearly a genre that I've grown up loving. I've been obsessed with horror movies since I was a kid. It's just always one of those genres that when you're a kid and you maybe feel like an outsider, you can latch on to those. It's very weird. But I've always loved horror movies, and it seems like it's such a saturated genre now that we get the same shit again and again, that when we see something that's different or unique, we latch onto it. And that's why, especially this year, there've been a few good ones. The Invitation was really cool.
Yep.
The Conjuring 2, very different, but very good. What do you have to see in a horror movie that I guess stands out for you to make it better than the rest of the stuff that you're seeing? What do you have to watch in a horror movie that you go, you know what, I'm going to remember this, I'm going to rewatch this? What makes it different?
Here's my stance on it. There are not enough young filmmakers that are putting their unique stamp on horror, and they're not creating something new.
Mm-hmm.
What I see is a lot of young directors doing homages to what worked in the past.
Yes.
Because when I think of a young Sam Raimi with Evil Dead series, and I think of a young Peter Jackson with Bad Taste and Dead Alive, and I think of those younger, they were trendsetting at the time.
Yeah.
Totally new ways to do horror. And I don't see enough of that now.
No.
I see them, people, I'll go on horror movie sites and stuff like that, and they'll be like, all these new movies are coming out, and I'll look, and it's all, every time I read the description from the director, it's like, I loved Sam Raimi's old stuff, or I love this old stuff, or I love Carpenter's old stuff, so I'm trying to just remake it, you know? And it's no, because I felt when Cabin in the Woods came out, I felt that was that was just a stake being driven in the old style of horror movies.
Yeah.
Like, it's done. You can't do this anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, we've spoofed it beyond, that it's valuable anymore.
Yeah.
So, but some do come out, The Witch and Conjuring 2, and those movies do come out that are more interesting, but they're not the younger guys coming up, and I want to see a revolution of the style of horror coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that'll happen, but...
No, I know what you mean. Even when we look at the movies that are... critically acclaimed or movies that people kind of latch on for year to year, they're always slight variations of what we've seen before. I'll give an example. It Follows is very reminiscent of the John Carpenter era. Down to the music, down to the scene shot selection. While entertaining. I like that movie. But that's only because all the shit we get in the horror genre is so repetitive, and it's the same stuff we've seen it again and again, that when you see a movie like that, it's clearly ripping off John Carpenter, so much so that they're happy to do it, you know what I mean? Yeah. But it's entertaining, and so when I was trying to look through like some of the best horror movies in the last couple of years, man, it's so hard to find.
I went through a list actually a few podcasts ago, and I found like three of them that are on Netflix right now, but one of them was like The Hollow, which it still hits the steps that you follow in a horror movie, but at least it took an idea that hadn't been touched yet, and that was like Irish mythology of like the little people in the woods stealing your babies and you know stuff. And I find that that's all they're really doing. Like, I haven't seen a name come out in the horror industry in a long time that's been like just hit you across the face with something new and different.
And that's the thing with this topic. I wonder if the horror genre itself is so mined of ideas, it's just been completely plucked, that you really can't come to the genre new. I look at some of the filmmakers that I like revisiting. Movies like You're Next, The Guest by Adam Wingard. While they're reminiscent of movies you've seen before, Your Next is clearly just Scream and movies like that. But it's fun. It's kind of entertaining. The Babadook, also very cool supernatural horror movie. But again, very reminiscent of other movies that we've seen. But it's kind of weird. I just feel like this is a genre, almost like unlike any other genre, that you really can't, it's hard to do something new. It's hard to bring something new to the table. And so I feel like we're almost more judgmental of those movies than we are of other genres for people who are fans of the genre.
Well, I feel like it's hard to judge a horror film. It is. By how it makes it good. Like, is a horror film good by how much it scares me? Because I really haven't been scared by a horror film since I was young.
Yeah.
And you look up the critic or audience reception reviews in movies like The Witch, which is a horror movie. I liked it. Well made.
Exactly.
No one, but people don't like that. People don't like that. People want the Insidious, The Conjuring. Yeah. They want those like
paranormal
measured. They want those measured jump scares. But that's not horror.
I fucking hate those.
No, it pisses me off. And it's
just getting jumped up in the, you know, the theater. I'm just like, fuck you. Like, I'm about ready to walk out.
Yeah.
The majority of horror films the past 15, 20 years that have made money precipitously, like the first weekend, you know, the biggest, almost every movie's like that, I guess, the biggest box office returns the first weekend, are those films that are jump scares, very typical, generic things. Like, I thought that was gone. When Cabin in the Woods came out in 2012, I thought that was over.
You'd think.
That's what I thought, too.
You'd think.
That was a statement I made when I saw it.
And then in April 2013, Evil Dead came out.
Done, yeah.
I'm like, okay, so that's the same fucking movie, just no one cares. No one cares about shining light on the flaws of the genre. They just want to see that genre.
No, I want.
People hated Cabin in the Woods.
I was going to say it.
Because it wasn't that.
I left
kind of
that screening, people. Every single person walking out of there hated that movie. And I'm like, why? What are you guys missing? Like, I don't get it.
It's like Shaun of the Dead making fun of zombie movies. That was the point. It wasn't. It was funny, too, but it wasn't meant to be like another horror movie. I like films nowadays. I mean, like you said, August, we're not scared anymore. I mean, we're older. I don't know if that's. That's probably the majority of it, but like things that fuck with me, like the thrillers, like The Guest, or in the way The Invitation, they're more like psychological. As an adult looking at these characters, like, what are they gonna do? What steps are they gonna take to resolve this issue? That's more interesting to me. I mean, besides that, the only thing I could think of is The Ring. The last thing freaked me out because they show a flash of the real ring. I'm like, fuck, are we gonna watch the video? Are we in the movie? Like, for a second, I'm like, I had a terrifying moment, and that was it.
To be honest, I think the last movie that I watched that I was horrified by was Incendies.
By Denis Villeneuve.
And that's just because, like, you guys haven't seen it, but when it gets to the end and you learn, like, the thing about this movie or whatever, it's kind of got, like, a very existential, just being, like, putting yourself in that situation, just being, like, fuck, how do you continue on from this revelation? Like, that, I feel like now that I'm older, that's what is horror to me, is the existential horror.
Yeah, it's like the psychological,
and it's hard
horror
to hit that,
and it's hard to hit that note. Like, nothing has disturbed me more than when the first viewing I did of the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It looked so real. It was filmed to look real. And everything, there was no fancy angles, there was no stylish shots or anything. It was just like, someone gets hit in the head with a hammer and they're drug off the screen. I was just like, holy shit. You know, that looks like it happened outside. You know? I've tended more towards and it's sad because the horror films I've enjoyed more are the horror comedies. Like, I don't know if any of you have seen Housebound.
No.
It came out last year. It's a great little British, like, haunted house ghost movie. It's about this girl who got in trouble with the law, and she had to have an ankle bracelet put on her and sent back to live with her parents.
Okay.
And her parents drive her nuts. So these two are just crazy old people that are just insane. But it turns out the house is supposedly haunted, but she can't leave because she has an ankle bracelet on. No, imagine being stuck in a haunted house and you can't, like, leave because you'll get arrested.
That's pretty good.
You know, so it's pretty good, but it's a comedy at the same time. But it plays on these really good, you know, old horror tropes on it.
It reminds me of a couple films. Brandon, you mentioned it. Hush?
Yeah, Hush was a great little...
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Little small, close corners. Same guy who did Oculus.
Okay.
It's, again, it's when they take that tired premise of a... Like, that one was a home invasion movie. We've seen that fucking 50-100 times, but it's just... The fact that now she's deaf and she's mute,
it changes it.
It's a little twist, but they're able to make it very effective, very well done movie.
Does she scream in that movie?
No, so there's no screaming, and the fact that, like, she's able to solve all these problems, and that's the other thing, is creating characters that are smart and that aren't constantly doing these dumb decisions. But if you do that, just make the movie itself entertaining and fun, and you can still make a good horror movie. It's just
What I loved about Your Next.
Yeah,
it's like it was just this lady that was like the fiance to one of the brothers or whatever, and turned out to be just like this badass, fucking everyone up.
Survivalist,
like,
knew what was going on. And there are movies that kind of, you talk about horror comedies, movies like What We Do in the Shadows.
Hilarious.
Like, again, that's more of a comedy.
I know, but
horror,
I can't believe I forgot about that movie because that was one of my favorite movies last year.
So fucking good.
It kind of tapered off towards the end, but.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, it's kind of a one joke movie, but they do it really well. They do it really well. But yeah, I was looking through the recent horror movies that came out. And other than like The Babadook, It Follows. There's a couple of them that are different enough to kind of keep you going. But the horror genre, sadly, is in the worst place it's been. I feel like in forever.
One that reminds me of Hush, which I thought was already out, is one from the director of Evil Dead, the remake, and the star is Don't Breathe. They go into this guy's house thinking he's gone?
He's blind. Yeah, I guess, yeah.
He's blind. They're robbing him.
Yeah.
And he is like this fucking ex-Marine. Like, he has like these heightened senses besides the blindness, obviously. And he's taking them out one by one because he's blind, but he can hear them. So they have to like purposely like try to survive in the pitch dark because he doesn't need lights. And it's just fucking a cool concept. Like, you have to twist the horror genre in a way that hasn't been done before. But even that is still in itself.
Yeah, because ultimately it's like Brandon said, is it been mined so much that we have to twist it to something different?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that could possibly be put out that would be considered fresh and new in horror?
But there's a new horror film that came across recently that I'm actually pretty excited. It's called Split.
Is that the new M. Night Shyamalan movie?
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
James McAvoy.
Right? Yeah.
You know, I pulled it up and I told Jamie and John.
Yeah.
And Jamie automatically is like, are you fucking kidding me? That's going to be a shitty-ass movie. And I was like, you know, I automatically want to think that because of Shyamalan.
Sure.
It's, you know, recent movies.
I didn't hate The Visit. I will say that, too.
I didn't see it.
Okay, it's not bad. It's not terrible. I mean, it's
but
not
But I love
bad.
The Happening, so.
That's well, yeah, that's a good story.
But I watched the trailer and I want to see it.
Okay.
Really bad. I would say watch that trailer. Just seeing like James McAvoy plays a man with 23 different personalities.
Okay.
That ranges from like a 7-year-old, a priest, a woman, and a man. And just like seeing him act those people out and still retain that craziness throughout it is just like, that gets me interested. I mean, I don't know if it'll scare me. It might, you know, unnerve me a little bit, just because James McAvoy is a great actor.
I think the horror genre is one of those genres that I wish they'd go back to, or I wish every once in a while, it's one of the few genres that I wish would pile the money on. I wish would get a big budget movie, almost like The Shining. They tried doing that with Crimson Peak, and it kind of fell apart.
Yeah.
It's not terrible, but it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, it's just
But funny. I want to see one of those, like, big budget, you know, almost like a Shutter Island, but horror. Like, that's more of a psychological thriller, but that's a genre that I wish they'd actually get, like, spend $40 million, $50 million on a movie and just see what they could do with a genre like horror
with
a talented filmmaker.
Kind of going into a different form of art, but I want to see a real Silent Hill movie.
Oh, Silent Hill. Yeah. Again,
like,
that's got so many cool horror elements.
Like,
ideas. Yeah.
Make it that bizarre, psychological, like,
core aspect rather than just being like, oh, here's some characters from the game series. Like, nah, let's make it creepy as fuck like the games. Konami sucks.
Horrible. Yeah, okay. That was my topic, guys.
And now it's John.
John, you're
had a really long time. I want you to look at that timestamp right there. Do you have a topic now, John?
Of course I have a topic.
Okay, great. What's your topic?
My topic, actually, coming off the heels of Brandon.
All right.
I'm going to bring up the success of television series like Ash vs. Evil Dead, talking about horror, how Sam Raimi returned to his roots and totally made that show one of the most fun shows I've seen in the last year. Stranger Things on Netflix.
Okay.
Jessica Jones, Daredevil. Is television becoming better than film?
Yes, and a topic.
That has, yes, that's been floating around for several years.
Sure.
I felt like it really kind of, that came about during Breaking Bad, that people were thinking that film is over, or television is overtaking film.
Yes, and I have to slightly agree, because as in going back a little further, I am so done with like the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like, I don't want to see any more of these films. I'm tired of it. I think the villains are bland.
Mm-hmm.
Storylines are subpar, but for some reason, like Jessica Jones and Daredevil, I find so much more interesting. And I don't know if it's because they're allowed to be more mature, to be more adult oriented, the villains are three dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds me of when I grew up reading comics, because comics were never like what you see in the cinematic universe. They weren't PG-13 for all ages, except for Deadpool excluded. So when I watched Jessica Jones and Daredevil, it makes me feel like I was a kid reading comics and my parents hated me reading comics and they wanted to take them away because they're a bad influence, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it feels more like it did when I read comics.
Well, okay. I mean, it's also in the medium. Comic books weren't one-shots.
Exactly.
They were serialized.
Yeah.
And that's what makes the shows make more sense.
Exactly. And that's why you're able to have more developed villains.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, more developed, characters in general.
Yeah.
Or world building.
Yeah.
Is because it's serialized.
Yeah.
So I will agree in that aspect.
Yeah, and that's kind of what, like, back to the other topic, that's why I think Marvel, the movies are cool, because it is like the world of the comics. Like, they're all able to jump into each other's movies and stuff.
Yeah.
And there is, like, a show theme to the series of movies, but...
Except for the villains, they all
movies
suck.
The villains could fucking suck a dick for all I care. They all suck. I can't wait to see Mads Mikkelsen probably get fucked over, too.
Yeah.
I mean...
That's Mads. He has stage presence.
Sure. But, yeah, you're right, John. I mean, you look at... Just in general, the business of film and TV has changed dramatically in the past 20, 15 years or so. I mean, films, they've been making less and less because of the return.
Yeah.
The financial return has not been good. So therefore, the writers are forced to go to other mediums, and TV has been expanding as much as the ironically, you'd think it'd be lessening with the lack of cable, but Netflix, Amazon, Hulu.
Yeah, because I can't even say television. I almost have to say internet.
Yeah. VOD.
I think the TV show moniker's still there.
It's still there.
Series, yeah.
But I watch all my shows off of an internet connection.
Yeah,
right.
Not a cable connection,
no.
But I'm going to bring it up. I watched the whole season in about 2 days, was Stranger Things on Netflix. This show has managed to hit the 80s vibe, the Goonies vibe, like nothing I've ever seen. Because I know like Super 8 came out years back and they said, oh, this is like the next Goonies. And I'm like, I remember watching going, no, it doesn't feel like the 80s. This show, Stranger Things, even though I have a few problems with it, totally feels like it's in its right time, period. I mean, the clothing, the atmosphere, everything about it felt like the 80s. And I was just like, these guys should make, if they ever, even though I don't want to see it, if they ever try to remake Goonies, these guys should do it, because they obviously know how to do it.
Yeah.
You know.
That same mindset.
The same mindset. One of my favorite book ever written... Neil Gaiman's American Gods. I remember when they were shopping it around years ago to make a movie out of it, and I remember saying, you can't make a movie out of this book. You can't. In 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours is not going to do it. Stars is finally putting out American Gods, the series, and they released a trailer at San Diego Comic-Con. And it looks, from the trailer, looks and feels the tone of the book, and I'm just like, thank God for... I have to say, thank God for television to properly do this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would argue that some properties are meant to just be too fleshed. They're too fleshed out. They have to be fleshed out in order to capture it all. Yeah, man, it's weird because I remember always used to hating TV shows. I used to hate
tuning
in week after week
TV.
And trying to and especially the shows like those blanket shows like CSI or NCIS where it's a new story every week. You can miss five fucking weeks. It doesn't matter because the next show is going to be exactly like the same show. It's almost minute to minute. This time they find the corpse, then they're going to find this, and then it's but shows that are able to build these characters over a season over years. There's no substitute. I was such an anti-television person until the last couple of years. It's built up so much and they're able to do so much more, and they're also able to take movies like Evil Dead, such a specific genre favorite of certain people, and expand it in a way that movies never would could. You're right, and
never worked that way.
I'm glad that we're in that age. I'm glad we're in that age where we can expand these kind of genre culty favorites. Like a Stranger Things would never be a movie.
It
you
couldn't.
Know what I mean? Yeah. That's what I'm glad. I'm glad that TV's also, if it's not as good or better than movies, they're right next to it.
Exactly. Like, they're parallel. I don't want it to be better than movies. I just want it to be an option. Where people can be like, okay, rather than taking this book, like Cormac McCarthy's Blood Meridian, it would not work as a single book like what they did with No Country for Old Men.
Yes.
And it'd be like, if you put that as a series, like a little mini-series, it would nail down. Like, you'd be able to get everything in that book, because practically everything in that book is important, and you wouldn't have to cut anything out. I'm like, that would be the perfect avenue of it.
Now, I'm not a huge fan, or nor have I read The Dark Tower, but now that that's becoming a movie, I've heard that that's a movie, that's a story more suitable for a television series, that there's so much material in there.
That had a lot of issues. Like, they were going to do a movie, a season of TV, a movie, a season of TV, and a movie, and then finish it up. But, there's a lot to tell there.
I don't know if anyone keeps up with the daily trades, but I also noticed that I've never seen a single Divergent movie.
I haven't,
But I know that their last movie is now going to be a TV movie. They're going to make it. I think that's diminishing returns. That's a huge bet.
Well, and we didn't even bring up, like, Walking Dead and Game of Thrones and stuff. That's just been, phenomenon.
Huge.
Never going to be done in film.
No, never.
Especially Game of Thrones.
No.
Especially Game of Thrones.
You need, like, 19 movies.
And you look at a movie like Watchmen, like that's taken something from a graphic novel that people could say that it's not going to be a movie. You can't make this a movie. Yeah. And clearly, it didn't work as well. I wouldn't say Watchmen's a terrible film. I would say it's completely watchable, and there are some really cool scenes in there. But as a whole, it doesn't feel like a finished movie. Yeah. It feels like it definitely should have been longer. Mm. And even as someone who didn't read the graphic novel, but who just constantly hearing, there's so much stuff that was left out and changed. And
it's just too bad we can't get people in that would actually watch a 4-hour long movie.
Yeah. Well, no, you're right.
It's like the director has to put out another cut after.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. If, like, the studio had been like, all right, you can do a 4-hour cut of the Zack Snyder, and be like, all right.
Well, you just see with, like, the Batman v Superman thing. They had to release a 3-hour cut because it's, and again, I'm not defending the movie, but to explain the story fully, you have to release 30 extra minutes that people are just too bored. They can't even sit through title sequences anymore. Yeah. People get pissed off if they have to sit through a 3-minute title sequence. It's like, people's attention spans, and it's also weird, like, people can sit at Netflix and watch 5 episodes of Stranger Things.
Yes.
Yeah. They would not sit in a theater for 3 hours to watch the movie the same material. It's very strange, people's how they, just because that title break in between that they can justify, all right, well, what's next?
Okay.
Episode?
Yeah.
It's very strange.
They want that choice.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Maybe that should be in movie theaters now.
Leave now.
Do you want to watch the next hour and a half? If not, leave. Is that something against movies? Like, so, for example, like, let's say Tarantino released Kill Bill in its entirety, like 4 hours or so. If he had done like a TV show, like left like a cliffhanger after these certain big scenes, would that have worked? People are like, holy fuck. But that's the thing. No one's going to go to the movie to watch a 4-hour film. That's a block right there. Like, no, I'm not going to do that. But he was smart to break it up early on in the production.
Thematically as well.
Yes, yes.
It'd be like samurai movie or kung fu movie, western. Like,
sure.
If it would just been like, you know, a sequel, it wouldn't have that, or a sequel to a kung fu movie wouldn't have that, like, interestingness about it. Just be like, all right, continuation.
Yeah, and I'd love to see a film like 4 or 5 hours long, see what happens, like, if it had that just one more mentality, but because of its ostensible length, you're like, I'm not going to deal with it.
I know you wouldn't like it.
No.
Because
you have to
only God
it.
Forgets. Or, I mean, not only God forgets, Hard to Be a God.
But that's the thing, like, if I watched in the theaters and they had an intermission, I'd be fine with it, because I can go piss and get a break from it and think about what I had been seeing it up until that point, and then come back into it. But with, no, most people don't even want to see, like, the fucking, Hateful Eight.
No, yeah.
Yeah, the longer
diminishing returns, cut. The fact that it, I mean, people just don't want to go see. The only reason they'd go see a 3-hour movie is if it's a goddamn Lord of the Rings movie where there's constant action scenes or special effects throughout. Like, they're not going to sit through a character piece for 3 hours long. It's crazy. Just that ability to pause and leave like, at your home. And even if you release that movie, though, that 3-hour movie at home, people still wouldn't watch it because it doesn't have that goddamn directed by whatever, that break in between that just lets you click on the next episode. It's very strange.
I think where TV really, really nails it, you brought it up earlier, was the, like, when you're focusing on a character that you love and you're able to expand it beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Ash from the Evil Dead series in his own television show with the actual actor, Bruce Campbell, playing Ash. It's like everything that you thought when you watched those original movies, like, what does Ash do on this day or this day and that? And getting to see him and just expand the character and see him wisecrack and do all the shit for, like, multiple episodes is amazing.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It'd be kind of, let's say you're, like, the biggest Rocky fan and all of a sudden they made a TV series, Rocky, starring Sylvester Stallone. You got to see him do everything in the day, you know, all that shit. It would be amazing if you were a huge fan. Beat off and all that. So, yeah, I see why Ash vs. Evil Dead is amazing, because everyone loved the character Ash, and they always wanted to see more of him, and what does he do here and do there and all that. And
please tell me that his, like, everyday normal life is just really fucking mundane, and he's just...
No, it's not. It's hot. Well, it's funny, because he works a mundane job, but it makes it hilarious, his mundane job. But, yeah, it's amazing to me, because there's these characters that I love that I never thought I would ever see again, and television allowed that to come back with, like, especially Ash vs. Evil Dead.
Now, I feel like there's something that's kind of coming up where they're kind of melding the idea of television and film, where it's like True Detective. Is it like anthology?
It's an anthology
series, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, season one is a masterpiece.
Yeah.
Absolute masterpiece. Great. Season two was kind of rushed, didn't feel anything. Yeah. It wasn't unwatchable.
No.
It was definitely better than probably 90% of what's
happening. Sure, I could get to the end.
It was unjustifiably hated. I'd say that. Yeah.
But because people were comparing it to the first.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, like True Detective, 8 episodes. 8-hour-long episodes is one of the most brilliant things. Probably Matthew McConaughey's best performances I've ever seen. Yep. Woody Harrelson as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Both.
You know, dialogue.
Dario, too.
Yeah.
Well, I would say an interesting like companion piece is to compare the movie Fargo with the series Fargo. I think it's about 8 episodes. Fantastic. Mm. Like, both seasons are so different, but also so great. So it's such character-driven. Every episode is so many twists and turns.
I haven't seen the second season yet.
Great stuff. Just as good as the first, and I didn't expect it to be.
But that's the opposite, right? I mean, that's the opposite. Like, taking a film and taking that idea and branching it out into a series.
Simply taking, the setting and the behavior of the characters. And that's all. That's the same. Everything else is different. It's great. And just maybe slightly noticing or referencing events or certain things in the movie. That's all you need.
Like, imagine the Big Lebowski.
I was literally just thinking of the dude. Right. Yeah, like,
imagine the dude
life.
In his regular life and all these crazy shit.
An anthological where it's like one season follows some really fucking strange event. He just wanders into it. Yeah. Next season, it's another event.
It'd be amazing.
Yeah. There's a lot of movies I think that could benefit from their characters moving, transitioning to the small screen.
The Forgotten should be a TV series.
With Julianne Moore?
Yeah. No. I'm just kidding. Most random movie I was thinking
of. Leftovers. Has anyone seen that movie?
I'm not. That's Justin Theroux, right? He's in that? Or is the show, right? Maybe that's a different show.
Yeah. I don't know who's actually in it, but I've heard that that's a really good TV series. HBO.
I mean, you take a character like Walter White and you see his progression over six seasons or whatever, and you watch him turn from a bad guy good guy to a bad guy. You can't necessarily do that in a movie. Even when they tried it, like The Godfather took 3 movies, you know what I mean? It takes time to establish the change in these characters, and you can do it in a movie, it's just never going to be as impactful.
Yeah,
definitely not. Because you don't have the viewers turning in every week and leading up to that. I mean, TV series, they have like a half year break. And then you got the next season coming out. Movies, it's like 1 or 2 years before the next one comes out.
Yeah.
So their interest is just plummeted.
Yeah, I will agree that specifically character-driven stories are definitely enhanced by television series.
I'm going to Terrence Malick television series.
visual poetry.
And I think it's to that point I made earlier, how studios are doing less films, but they're putting more stock in them. I mean, there are more buyers to buy scripts and ideas in film, TV now, you know, you got all these streaming services, you got, you know, Starz, HBO, Showtime, AMC. Like, they're doing all these places that never had TV before in this level. Even HBO never had TV at this level. I mean, they had Sopranos and all these other breakouts earlier on, but we're getting to the point where it's maybe oversaturation. It's not there yet, but there are a lot of options now. And you're able to see these shows that have never been made before.
Yeah.
Never been made. Now we have all these, like, opportunities, and it's really exciting.
They take the riskier ideas. Preacher, sure. Who the hell would have ever thought? I haven't seen it.
And here's the thing, I am not a fan of the Preacher show.
Okay.
I love the graphic novel series. Yeah. But the fact that it was able to be adapted.
Yeah, sure.
This, like, cult book that I grew up with that I loved, seeing it, like, oh my god, it was optioned for a show. That gives me hope for, like, all the other books, like, especially American Gods and things like Transmetropolitan by Warren Ellis. If that was adapted from Netflix as, like, an anime series, it would fit perfect, which people have been now petitioning. Nice. Make it an animated fucking film or animated series, and it would be perfect. But the fact that people are dipping into these things that were never dipped into before, because they couldn't be made into movies. Mm-hmm. And now television has opened up the gates to be like...
Yeah.
So, like, even though I don't like the direction of Preacher, the fact that it was made at all...
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to appreciate that.
Yeah.
Because
it's something you never thought would ever happen.
Exactly.
And you can thank... one company for that. Marvel Disney.
As much as you hate them,
they opened up an avenue.
They did open up the comic book avenue.
Sure.
Yeah.
No, I think the further we go along, the more obscure and stranger titles are going to keep getting more popular.
It's like all these little gems that I grew up with that nobody knows about, and I talk to them and they look at me with question marks. Now I can look at people and say Preacher.
Yeah.
And they know what it is.
Oh, yeah, as original ideas are keep getting more scarce and scarce, they're gonna keep pulling from those stranger, obscure, very original things that I'm glad to be. We're living in a time.
Yeah.
So cool. Speaking of this, there is a comic series being made to a series, I think, for Showtime. I never heard of it until today. I heard it on a podcast, but I never expected a thing like this to be made. It's called Sex Criminals.
Yes, I was just talking to Jeremy yesterday in the comic book store about it.
So, Sex Criminals is about this woman who can stop time when she has an orgasm. Very sexually charged, like, material. It's not made for,
I've read it. TV. It's, and the she meets her boyfriend, who also has the same power.
Yep.
And when they have sex, it stops time. Or when they have an orgasm, it stops time. But they decided, let's go into a bank, go into the bathroom, have sex.
That's awesome.
We both orgasm, time stops, rob the bank.
That's
I mean? Yeah. I mean, the title's a little unfortunate because when I showed it to Jeremy, I was like, look, Sex Criminals is awesome. He's like, what the fuck? You thought it was about rape and shit. I'm like, no. It's about
That's
cool. You have sex and then you commit a crime.
I think it'd be cool if they did it in the lobby, though. Like, everyone in the line, like, they're starting up, and everyone's like, what the fuck is going on? And all of a sudden it happens, and you're like,
oh, well, the male character's hilarious in the book, because what he would do is he'd want porno. So we'd just go into, like, a porno shop and just, like, jerk off.
Oh, yeah.
Have an orgasm, stop time, grab all the pornos you want.
I mean, if you need material to stop time, I mean, that's a good place to go.
I mean, going to McDonald's, man, I want some free food.
Yep.
Right there, like, go to the register. I'll have this, and this. Yeah. Oh, okay.
And that was written by Matt Fraction, who wrote the version of Hawkeye, which I wish would have been in the movies. Because Hawkeye was more of a single guy, schlub, lived in a dirty apartment. You know what I mean? He would just go out and fight crime.
Now he's the family man.
He'd fail half the time. He'd fall down and break his leg or something. You know what I mean? And I was just like, this is an awesome Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Because he's like a human being trying to be Batman.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
I like that idea.
Yeah. That was a much cooler Hawkeye than what we got.
I've once seen Jeremy Renner get his ass kicked. That would have been great.
That human chode in the films?
Yeah.
I ain't gonna shoot arrows.
Yeah. But anyway, that was my topic. I know we're going pretty long.
No, there are a lot of potential things to be done still in TV, and TV's exciting now.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the bigger names are going to TV because of that freedom.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
So
Matthew McConaughey's in the second one. Idris Elba's gonna be there.
Kevin Spacey in House of Cards. Fantastic actors. Yeah,
this might end up eventually turn into not quite television.
Who knows? Yeah.
Not quite NBC.
Not quite.
So
who's up?
Done. Oh, that's all our topics.
But we need to talk about your communal film.
Yeah.
I didn't know we're that far along.
Yeah, we're done.
Shit. I was gonna make you guys watch Bad Taste.
Ooh.
For Peter Jackson's original film. But I'm gonna go with one I keep mentioning every friggin' episode, and we're going with Cemetery Man.
Yeah,
about time.
Yes. We've been waiting for this one ever since we started hanging out.
Fun Italian horror.
Yes.
Surrealist horror. zombie film.
Surrealist, you got me.
You got it.
You
I
got
didn't know it was Italian.
Italian? Or I mean, foreign, surrealist, I'm in.
Yeah.
So that would be
next It'll be fun. It would be a good, fun movie. And that will be discussed next week.
Something I would like to add is mad props to Brandon.
Yes.
For joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
These past two episodes.
I love listening to the very different tastes of movies. Yes. It's a very interesting list, I will say that. So I'm excited to hear Cemetery Man.
You can come watch Cemetery Man too.
I was I've not seen this movie. I've heard a lot about it. If I don't get a chance to watch it, I'll definitely listen to the episode.
It came on the tail end of the 70s, 80s.
Okay.
Early 90s Italian horror renaissance.
Nice. So
okay. Right around the end in the early 90s.
Okay.
Yeah, and honestly, speaking of, I mean, if you want to have any suggestions for topics or for movies, I mean, we are always open for them. I'll use them as my communal if you want.
If you want to be a guest.
Just come on.
Hobos.
Anyway. Yeah.
I mean, two weeks in a row, we have a listener join in.
You could be one of those people joining in.
Spencer.
Yeah, exactly.
Spencer.
Yeah, you do. Where are you?
That was just Jamie Spencer.
Yeah, I pretty much feel that way.
But no, I feel like it's time for the social media plug.
Yes, we are on Facebook. Not Quite Hollywood. Very simple. You can email us with your questions or suggestions at notquitepod@gmail.com.
First email gets $5.
Still. Uncontested.
Contested.
Free money. And if you didn't know, Brandon and I do a YouTube show very similar to this, but we talk about the news of the week. It's We Need Movies.
It's true. You can see how sad and my life is, how many movies I buy. It's a sad good time.
How chody I look on actual film.
I was going to say, you can actually see Jamie's fucking face.
I'm sorry, everyone.
It's terrible.
If you want Jamie to wear a mask in the future,
please shoot us an email.
I'll wear a mask for the audio podcast. I don't care. I have a face for radio.
It's been fun, though. If I ever have time off again on a Wednesday, I'd love to come back.
Oh, yeah. It's been a blast.
Cool.
I also noticed my GoFundMe for the Fleshlight still has zero donations.
Weird.
I'm really throwing $5.
Yeah, I was going to say, tonight. That's shocking.
I put 5 cents in a condom in, and I guess it doesn't
it doesn't register.
Yeah. It's garbage. How is he supposed to cash that?
I can't.
We threw the garbage away immediately.
Figured, you'd open up the lid and you'd see it laying on top. Be like, oh, free condom.
I never thought this actually devolved into X-rated territory. It's literally every single time.
As soon as it gets
every single time.
It's just like,
and I keep a lot of it in.
You can't even help it. You can't even help it,
We like to be that surprise.
It's because we hold back the whole episode.
Right, trying to.
And then at the end, I'm just like, fucking
hand
jobs.
Yeah.
Who listens at that point, right?
If the new Ghostbusters movie can have queef jokes in it,
we
can have Fleshlights.
Yes.
Came from the front.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening about queefs and fart jokes. See you later.
I gotta pee again.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.